you in the 06010.
Welcome to Fantasy Focus. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feeds, as well as the ESPN app. And if you're listening to the audio feed, today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcast. Field Matthew and Stefania here as we try to not overreact, but we probably will. It is Monday of week two.
The sky is falling. Everything's wrong.
Really?
Start over.
Tell me more.
You said not overreact.
So, oh, no,
you
know, we're
my
overreact
instinct
to
is
fantasy
to, in fact,
stuff.
Overreact.
We're going to do that for sure. Don't you worry about that.
I mean, but I just in the other thing is what I like to do every once in a while, as you just saw right there, is I like to look. You guys know me as a fantasy analyst, but you also know I have acting chops. You know, the kind of thespian skills that
though?
Allowed me to get a role in Avengers Endgame, the highest grossing movie of all time worldwide. And so every once in a while, I like to treat the audience. I like to just, you know, give them a little nibble, a little taste of, like, you know, end scene.
Just, hey, I actually thought that was more petulant child behavior,
yeah.
Where everything we say you do the opposite of, right. As opposed to acting.
To be clear, Stefania, I am a petulant child. It's not behavior. That's my personality.
Wait, Stefania, hold on. Can you
to be clear?
Can you help me out here for a second? Did Matthew say he has a role in Avengers Endgame?
Now, let me be very clear.
No, well, maybe, you know, it's possible though, because
I don't know if you've ever heard or seen it posted.
Well, but I was locked in during that movie. I paid so much attention. Mm-hmm. I was at the theater for this movie, but at one point, I grabbed a handful of popcorn and I dropped one kernel on the ground. So I went like this for about that long. And so that's the only part of the movie that I missed. Is it possible that your role was about that long?
No. Because I'm actually part of a pivotal scene. It's about a 2.5-3 minute scene.
No, but you're lying.
I had four lines.
Is it
to
true
be clear.
Or is it not that Robert
actually,
Redford
I filmed
is in
six
that
lines.
Scene.
I filmed six lines. Four
is it
made
true
the
or is it not
four
that
made the movie.
Robert
I'm in
Redford
the end credits.
The
I'm on IMDb. And by the way, thanks to my actions in that scene, where I'm part of the team that allows Loki to escape with the Tesseract. You got the series Loki on Disney Plus, which has been
welcome
for a second season. So you're welcome, America. There all you right. go. You're welcome, by the way, because, you know, not only Avengers Endgame, highest grossing movie of all time, but Loki, a great series on Disney Plus.
We have a ton to get to today, so let's dive right into that. Before we get into the injuries and the takeaways from backfields and rookie performances and so much more, a couple of words. One, this may take two shows for us, so we may have more stuff that gets accounted for on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Second of all, Daniel and Stefania had this very lucrative bet on the line yesterday with the Lions and the 49ers.
Yeah, let's roll the tape on what the bet was from Friday, Field.
Yeah.
So I've been told that if the Lions win, Daniel gets the sunglasses. Yes, the Gucci sunglasses. If the 49ers win, Stefania gets to ride the motorcycle for the rest of the season to work.
What's the line? How much are you going to give me, Stefania?
Eight points? I'll take it.
Wow. And eight? The final score yesterday.
A push.
Despite the fact that the 49ers had a 41-17 lead late in the fourth quarter, 41-33, and the miracle of this all is the Lions had the ball with a chance to actually game with less than a minute to go.
They bortled their way back.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive. Yeah.
I got to be honest, though.
It's a shame. Not only did the game age me, I didn't get a chance to own Daniel's motorcycle, at least for a day.
Don't you think that Daniel, if he were a real gentleman, though, Stefania, would let you have that motorcycle? Not for a day.
I mean, if he were.
It's not even my motorcycle. It's Rosie's motorcycle. I can't give away my girlfriend's motorcycle. But Stefania, if you want to go for a ride.
I think you actually can.
I could do that.
I mean, by the way,
and
if you did that, then you'd be also giving away your girlfriend.
That's true.
I mean, but like, you know.
It's just the Matthew Berry book of life. Beth over to Stefania. I'm used to it.
It is what it is.
I do want to say.
Rid yourself of all these worldly possessions. Daniel, live a more pure life.
We've got a lot to get to, but I do want to say this. The Detroit Lions gave up 41 points, but most of that was because their number one running back, Raheem Mostert, he wasn't out there. It's because their really exciting rookie, Trey Sermon, Trey Sermon didn't play either? Okay, well, it must have been because Brandon Ayuk must have had... Well,
he
their superstar
like
quarter... Well, star. Their starting quarterback.
You know, when people are sore losers,
scored
they do things
41.
Like this to make
play
excuses.
Everybody against this Lions defense in fantasy. That's the end of the point. Finn, Just go. Yeah. Fiend.
And
just
especially,
go.
Especially they are now they without lost. Jeff Okuda.
Yeah,
their exactly. number three it's overall be tough. Pick last year. All right, let's get into the injuries because there were unfortunately a few in week one. Stefania, we start in Washington where Ryan Fitzpatrick, interesting play here. Looked like he was going to get up for a second and then he kind of went right back down to the ground. What do we know about Fitzy?
Yeah, if you look at the one angle where you see his knee go into the ground, that's the mechanism for a posterior hip injury. If you recall, Tua had an injury where his leg went into the ground and you're basically driving the thigh bone, the femur, towards the back end of the hip socket. Ryan Fitzpatrick had what is being termed a subluxation of his hip, essentially where the femur slips partway out of the socket but doesn't fully dislocate and then repositions itself automatically. Now, the good news is that it wasn't a complete dislocation, but there can be a lot of trauma associated with that, both to the soft tissue around the joint, but also within the joint itself. So it's really important. I'm sure he'll undergo further testing today. That's the expectation, to rule out any sort of fracture or even a bone bruise. If you hear the word bone bruise, remember, that's the micro fracture, bleeding in and around the bone. This is something you really have to protect the health of the hip. I would plan on Ryan Fitzpatrick being out for multiple weeks. Would not be surprised to see him go to IR at the minimum.
Matthew, obviously Taylor Heinicke took over in this game and played fine. He's a pretty good backup quarterback. Obviously played well for them in the postseason game last year. How much, if at all, does this impact the pass catchers in Washington?
It's not ideal because I think that Fitzpatrick has more of a downfield mentality. I like Taylor Heinicke. I do. And I was glad when Washington re-signed him. Again, unbelievably gutty playoff performance against the Buccaneers last year. I think if you look at the numbers, he actually had the best numbers of any team that played the Buccaneers last year. And that includes
the playoffs.
Over the playoffs. I'm just saying that includes a list that, Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes. Taylor Heinicke balled out in that particular game. And so, again, he comes into this game cold. Chargers are good defense. They'll coach him up. I think he'll be fine. So I think maybe a slight downtick, but not a significant one. Not one that would make me do any moves, meaning if you were already starting, and I assume you were, Terry McLaurin, Antonio Gibson, Logan Thomas, you will continue to do so. No one that was a starter for you is now not a starter. So maybe a slight downgrade because, again, they designed the offense around Fitzpatrick. He got all the first team reps in OTAs and training camp and everything like that. But, it's disappointing just because I love Fitzy and I'm a big Washington fan. But I do think in terms of backups, they have Taylor Heinicke, who they like quite a bit. And by the way, they also have Kyle Allen there, who's been in that system for a number of years.
And coming back off of his own ankle injury last year. Stefania, bad news for the Broncos, although it looked like it was going to be really bad news for Jerry Jeudy. What do we find out about their second-year wide receiver?
Well, there's still more to learn, Field, because he had what's being called a high ankle sprain. If you saw the mechanism, yes, it definitely looks scary. A lot of people thought that he had broken his bone at the ankle. So it was a torsional injury. Foot got turned out away underneath him with a defender on top of him. And that is the mechanism for a high ankle injury. Now, the x-rays initially showed no fracture, but I would remind people, case in point, Michael Thomas had a high ankle sprain that did not involve a fracture. You can still have a significant injury depending on the extent of the damage, whether it's ligaments locally, how far it extends up the leg, whether you have damage to the medial side of the ankle, which is what happened in the Michael Thomas case. So a lot still to be learned about the nature of the injury before we start qualifying how much time Jerry Jeudy could miss.
Okay, so we expect him to miss some period of time. If the Broncos place him on IR, that would put him out for at least 3 games. 3 weeks is the new IR rule, Matthew, so we might not see him until week 5 at the earliest, but it sounds like it could be even longer than that. Too bad, because he was playing great yesterday before the injury. 6 catches for 72 yards on 7 targets. I was thinking about this. Is there a next man up in Denver? Or, yesterday's performance, the context is important. They were playing against a good Giants secondary, which
really
limited Cortland Sutton in a major way. 1 catch for 14 yards. I'm not sure that this is a one-for-one situation in Denver.
I don't think it is. Noah Fant had a nice game as well. We talked about Noah Fant on Fantasy Football Now on Sunday morning that, hey, with James Bradbury, with Adoree Jackson, that we thought that, they might be limited in terms of where they're going to pass the ball. And so the expectation is they probably try to run the ball. They try to attack the middle of the field, which they did with Noah Fant. And so I don't know. Yeah, I don't know that there's suddenly, like, with Jerry Jeudy out, all of a sudden go pick up KJ Hamler or whatever. I don't think there is. I do think you see an increase in target share for Courtland Sutton, and I do think better days are ahead for him, to your point. There'll be easier matchups for the Broncos. And I think Noah Fant, you know, Noah Fant rises up in the sort of overall tight end ranks. There are, believe it or not, you can still draft your team for the season on ESPN.com. So there, right, there are drafts that are happening this week. So I would expect Noah Fant to go higher in the tight end rankings, or tight end, you know, as you get as you go through the drafting the position, he should be drafted higher than he was in the preseason. But yes, I agree with you, Field. There's not one particular player that I would say, like, you got to go pick him up. I'll turn it back to you. When you're writing the free agent finds column, like, feels like there's a lot of other wide receivers you would prefer in more potent offenses than a number two to Courtland Sutton in Denver.
Not a great waiver wire week. I'm also trying to be proactive and not leading people astray. It's week one. Some things happen that don't sustain. Yesterday, KJ Hamler had a long, long touchdown attempt that he should have caught probably. And if he did, maybe it changes the tenor of the day. Tim Patrick did find the end zone on four catches.
He did.
I just think that for an offense that you pointed out, this is not the Chiefs, it's not the Bucks. You can't count on 30 points a game. That maybe the reality is that we expect Courtland Sutton to get back to where he was, and we just hope for the best with Jerry Jeudy. And in the meantime, nothing more than a deep league flex for one of the other guys.
Yeah, I mean, look, Patrick and Hamler will get more looks, but the idea that one is going to separate themselves in a way that Jeudy did, where you know, like, these are the guys you're
not
starting,
for one
at least at the moment, I don't think so. They're both nice players. But yeah, to me, I would think that, like, if I was doing overall flex rankings next week, it will be Sutton and Fant, and then you'll have Hamler and Patrick further down below.
Daniel referenced it earlier, Stefania. Raheem Mostert left the game early for the 49ers as well.
It's really just so unfortunate. Raheem Mostert has been plagued by injuries for years now, and yesterday was no different. Left the game early, second quarter, I believe. Only had two carries for 20 yards. So only two fantasy points for you. All we knew was that it was his knee. Kyle Shanahan said after the game that he was going to get his knee further evaluated when they got to Greenbrier. For those who aren't aware, 49ers have a game in the East Coast, so they are going to Greenbrier in West Virginia and staying there this week for practice. So he was expected to get further evaluated when they got there last night. Once we have those results, we'll share them. Shanahan did say he did not. He heard that they did not believe it was an ACL, so they thought that was encouraging, but nothing further specific as of yet.
This comes on the heels of an interesting morning, and credit where it's due here. Adam Schefter had Elijah Mitchell, the 49ers' backup running back, as the backup running back, which is important to note because some people thought he might be the third or fourth string running back. Elijah Mitchell, sixth-round pick this year, he was active. Trey Sermon was not active, Matthew. Yeah. And beyond that, when Mostert did go down, it was not Jamichael Hasty. It was Elijah Mitchell who took over in this role, and he played great. He leads the NFL in rushing so far right now. That's unpredictable. That's fantasy football for you.
It was – so this is all shocking. So I've got to be honest with you. So I had like a moment of crisis. Like when on Fantasy Football Now, we do our long shots, and Shefty mentioned that his long shot was Elijah Mitchell. Obviously, Adam did not expect Raheem Mostert to go down, but so Shefty crushed me, and we go head to head with our long shots, and so Adam absolutely crushed me with Elijah Mitchell's huge game. But in Adam's in two fantasy leagues, this is all stuff he talked about on the air. He's in two fantasy leagues. He drafted Raheem Mostert and Elijah Mitchell in both leagues, did not draft Trey Sermon. And I had a moment of crisis where I'm like, how did I miss this? Because I thought Trey Sermon was the number two, right? You know, and I was aware of Elijah Mitchell, but like, I thought he was third or fourth on the depth chart. And I thought Sermon was the number two. And I'm like, did I just miss this? Like, how did I screw this up? And so, and I felt better as I started reading all these reports. Every single beat writer, and the 49ers are one of the most well-covered teams in the NFL. There are a lot of beat reporters that cover that team and do it well. And they were all like, this is shocking. You know what I mean? Like, Matt Barrows, who covers them for The Athletic, put in a tweet like, very surprising as Trey Sermon has operated as their number two back since OTAs. Mm-hmm. That was a tweet that he put out. So I'm not throwing him under the bus. That is literally something he put out to the public. So I was just, I think everyone was... everyone apparently, except for Adam, who knew this, was shocked that this information was not public, and somehow that it did not escape until yesterday morning on Fantasy Football Now that Elijah Mitchell had passed Trey Sermon on the depth chart, and in a significant way, so much so that they didn't activate Trey Sermon. Kyle Shanahan said after the game, basically they only dressed three running backs, and they decided to dress Mostert, Mitchell, and Jamichael Hasty. Those are the three running backs they felt gave them the best chance to win. So there's a lot to unpack here. The number one is that Elijah Mitchell is the number one waiver wire pickup if he's still available in your league. I mean, we joked about this.
I know what you're going to say. Every league you played in?
Every league. I'm here to tell you,
he's available in 99.3% of leagues.
I get that.
He's available in your league.
He's available in a lot of leagues. I will just say
99.3%.
I get it. I'm just telling you, I'm in 15 leagues, and as soon as Shefty said that, I went to all my leagues to see if he was available. Now, meanwhile, by the way, I'm sitting there on air, so it like takes me 10 minutes like until the segment's over. And by the way, all the people that work on the show, I'm in a lot of leagues on show leagues. Nice. But yes, Elijah Mitchell is the number one pickup, no question, no brainer, and worth a significant amount of fab. Given the fact that, by the way, not only did he look great, Raheem Mostert has never had more than 137 carries in a season, right? This is somebody that is insanely talented but has struggled with his health. And so, you know, Elijah Mitchell, it's incredible. My question to you guys, and I'll turn this back to Stefania, who covers the 49ers and who went to 49ers camp, what are we doing with Trey Sermon? Is Trey Sermon droppable?
His time will come.
I'm asking Stefania, who's our 49ers expert.
No, he's not droppable, but I will say this. When I was there in camp, Elijah Mitchell was there was a lot of buzz around him, and it was very clear that when we were looking at roster cuts, that was one of the reasons that it sounded like Wayne Gallman, I was not going to be surprised that he went, even though he was getting a lot of activity in training camp, because they loved what they were seeing from Elijah Mitchell. They loved the fact that he's a tough running back. They saw a spark from him, and I think they thought he developed as camp went on. So even though there was a lot of buzz and hype, and you knew he was going to stay on the roster, what we saw in terms of him leapfrogging Trey Sermon, that was really kind of in the last week. And I think that's why people were surprised that he got the nod. But no one was surprised that the talent was there and that they really, really liked him, because Shanahan had made that clear. That being said, they were happy with Trey Sermon. But I think there's also been a message sent like, you got to step it up. And Elijah Mitchell showed a versatility for them that Trey Sermon hadn't yet demonstrated. But by no means would I be dropping?
Agree on that, Stefania. Other players who were inactive yesterday included Zach Moss, healthy scratch of the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, wow.
Let's start there, and I'll get to Odell, and I'll have a funny line about my team in just a moment here. But Zach Moss, no real reason given behind Zach Moss's healthy scratch or deactivation, Matthew, but maybe a reminder yesterday that, once again, like, I'm not sure any Bills running back matters this year.
Yeah, I think we said this on Fantasy Football Now, which is that the guy in the backfield you want on the Bills is Josh Allen. Like that, I mean, that's their best goal line runner. That's the guy that got the majority of the red zone and goal to go carries last year for the team. Devin Singletary now becomes flex worthy, I think, and had a decent performance against a tough Steelers defense yesterday. If Zach Moss is going to continue to be a healthy scratch, I think Singletary's rostered in almost every league though, but like, he becomes usable to me. Whereas before, I think they sort of vultured each other. We had a conversation early in the preseason about Singletary versus Moss, which you were on Singletary and I was on Moss. Kudos to you there. I thought Moss had more touchdown equity, but apparently what we think and what the Bills coaching staff think are different.
Game one, overreaction to week one. I mean, right, we don't know because we hardly saw a preseason. So it's all...
That's the other part, yeah.
And we will see. I mean, it's possible that this week Zach Moss is back up for the Bills.
It might have been
a disciplinary
thing that we're not aware of. No idea.
There's been no suggestion of it being disciplinary, so we'll have to figure out...
I'll be clear about that. I'm purely speculating. That is based on absolutely nothing.
Yeah, so
be
we don't
very
know.
Clear about that.
Weird situation.
But I'm just saying we have no idea.
Yeah. Odell Beckham Jr. also inactive yesterday because of a knee injury. Rousing start for my dynasty league in ESPN. You know that team has?
Who does that have?
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
Raheem Mostert.
Mm.
Curtis Samuel.
Oh.
Odell Beckham Jr.
Field.
Jerry Jeudy. So every player we've talked about so
no
far?
No wonder you're not in these expert the leagues roster. That Matthew plays in, huh?
No. 15 leagues are literally like, so you're, that being that league you play in with like your kids.
Yeah.
Someone went and grabbed
Elijah Mitchell.
Elijah Mitchell within the 10 minutes that you were.
No. Like I don't, like my daughter's drafted my team in that league. I'm not going and picking up Elijah Mitchell in a 10-team league that kids play in, no.
But
in the leagues that like, whatever,
literally
somebody has Elijah Mitchell in our dynasty league, I believe. We're not in our dynasty league.
We're not allowed to make moves
until next week. I played Daniel in our dynasty league and he.
Okay, let's keep moving here. Let's go to Saquon Barkley. 10 carries for 26 yards, 2.6 yards per carry, one catch, 1 yard, 3.7 fantasy points. Stefania, what'd you see from Saquon Barkley yesterday?
I saw an entry into returning to football, and I think he showed us about what I expected from him. First time back on the field. It's hard to fully evaluate Saquon because of the offensive line that he's playing behind. So I don't think this is all on him, but maybe a little hesitation at times. He didn't seem afraid to take contact at all, which is good. And he actually said this was a milestone for him. Obviously, it was very important for him to be out there day one, regardless of how much work he was doing. But there was nothing electric or game-changing about it. This was just a step in the process. And I think that's what we should have expected for him. Now, as far as playing next Thursday night, the Giants have another game in 4 days. Saquon said he had no announcements about that. He just needed to go home, see how his knee responded to this first game action, and then they would make a decision this week.
Okay.
That is a game at Washington, and I can already tell you Saquon Barkley is going to be on my hate list once again. He was on this week. He will be again against Washington. Ugh, he played 28 snaps. He didn't have one carry go more than 5 yards. Okay. He had 0.8 yards before first contact. He didn't get a yard. Like, I mean, they're in that backfield. To Stefania's point about the offensive line, and it's something we've talked about throughout the preseason, this is not, you know, one of the reasons why I was fading Saquon in the preseason is because of that offensive line. Get this now. Over his last three games, so dating back to last year, he now has 29 carries on 60 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, it's basically 2 yards a carry. 29 carries for 60 yards over his last three games.
Table that conversation for Friday, because if we wake up on Friday morning and another, not even ho-hum, but another bad fantasy effort.
3.7 fantasy points on Sunday for Saquon.
We then ask the question, is he even started? Which is a crazy thing to think about a guy who was drafted on average as the 5th overall player in fantasy football this year. Austin Eckler had 15 carries yesterday, 57 yards and a touchdown. He played 46 snaps. Most interesting part, he had zero target yesterday. Zero targets. However, I will remind you, all the way to last year, 1 year ago today,
exactly.
The Chargers played the Bengals in week one. He had one catch for 3 yards. This is certainly nothing more than coincidence, but as we saw last year, despite the fact that he had two games early in the season last year with just one catch, he's still one of the most dynamic passers. This will get there. I'm not worried about this one at all.
So not worried about this. I think it was just about sort of what the defense gave him. Mike Williams had a big game here. To me, there were two things that were, I'm not at all worried about the pass catching. Austin Eckler, one of the best pass-catching running backs in the NFL. Trust me, they're going to use him in that role. I'm not worried about
that. And he was out of the backfield quite a bit, 24 routes yesterday.
Yeah,
so he
it just didn't work out. It's just how Washington clearly made him a priority on defense, as well they should have. And so I'm not worried about that. I thought there were two interesting things here. First off, they were first and goal on the 3-yard line, and they gave it to Austin Eckler, who ran up the middle. So again, that was one of the, as I was talking up Eckler in the preseason and making my ride or die, the anti-Eckler argument was always like, he's not going to score touchdowns. He's not going to get the ball at the goal line. Well, he did. I mean, literally, he scored the first touchdown on Sunday, and it was a 3-yard run between the tackles. The other thing that I thought was interesting here, Field, and I think this is important, is that Josh Kelly was inactive. He was a scratch.
Yep.
And Larry Roundtree played 21 snaps to only 10 for Justin Jackson. Larry Roundtree, the rookie. See, now, if Eckler were to get injured, I don't think it's a 1-for-1, but I do think, like, who's the Chargers running back you want after Austin Eckler? I believe it's Larry Roundtree, the rookie. So I thought that was interesting, the significance, the amount he played.
Yep, completely agree on that one. A rookie out of Missouri is Larry Roundtree, 6th-round pick this year. Quickly, last injury note, Stefania, is that Joe Burrow was out there. He played 3 snaps during the entire preseason, and yesterday he proved that was more than enough.
It was great to watch him. I made him a focal point of my game watching yesterday because I wanted to see how he did with four quarters of football. And he played not only four quarters of football, he had to go a full overtime. So essentially five quarters of football in his first outing. And I just thought you saw him get more and more comfortable as time went on. He did get sacked five times, but this is the contact that Joe Burrow wanted to know that his knee would be okay. We saw him stand in the pocket. We saw him make some great throws. I thought the connection with him and Ja'Marr Chase was really important and kind of took you back to the LSU days. It was important to both of them to get him going. And so as some of that confidence came into play, I think that just helped him forget about the knee and start doing what he needed to do. I saw everything I needed to from Joe Burrow to think that he's only going to get better as the weeks go on. Really strong first outing, especially when you consider how devastating that injury was that he came back from. And to his credit, I just want to reiterate, this is a guy who during training camp requested more practice with coaches swarming him so he could get used to traffic around his leg. He instituted things to help make him more prepared for week one, and my goodness, it showed.
He looked great yesterday. He finished with 18.6 fantasy points, which really is just a reminder of how valuable it is to be able to run the ball. He had just 2 rushing yards. How about a quirky stat from that game? First game in NFL history to ever be tied on a game-ending play, and then finish the game with no time left on the clock as well. So fourth quarter, the Bengals tie it with no time left. Overtime, the Bengals also are, you know what? I take that back. I butchered this stat. Fourth quarter, the Vikings tie it with no time left. Overtime, the Bengals win it with no time left. Exciting game right there. And Stephon, you mentioned him.
It's a good win for, by the way, just real quickly, because we have a lot of fun with Cincinnati on this podcast, you know, and I have over the years, you know, and like the Bengals bone you and the whole thing, everything like that. Good for Cincinnati.
Yeah, great
win. That's a great win for them. And so, like, I'm thrilled for those guys. I'm thrilled for the fans of Cincinnati who've been through a lot. Like, I think if you're a Bengals fan this morning, because the Vikings are a good team.
We'll see.
I guess we'll see. Like, we think they're going to be – either way, that's a great win.
Just a good win.
That's a great win. Like, if I'm a Bengals fan, I'm waking up this morning saying, you know what, I feel good about – where we're headed. You feel good about Burrow, and you certainly feel good about the wide receiver field.
That's right. Ja'Marr Chase is our unexpected performance, brought to you by EA Madden NFL 22, and his Madden rating is going up after yesterday. 5 catches for 101 yards and a touchdown on 7 targets. 50-yard bomb from Joe Burrow. It was absolutely tremendous to see, and Ja'Marr Chase quickly put to rest any concerns there were after some drops during the preseason. Joe Burrow made sure that we were all reminded about how we were talking about those drops during the preseason, and frankly, this is just great to see. There was a time when Ja'Marr Chase was going way ahead of any other rookie wide receiver in terms of ADP, and based off week one, the hype surrounding him seemed merited. He looked tremendous. We'll have more on Ja'Marr Chase and all other rookie performances, most likely during tomorrow's show when we recap Monday Night Football and talk some waiver ads.
It's, you know, preseason, it's, as we talk about, in some cases we didn't get enough looks at some people, and in some cases stuff gets overblown. Ja'Marr Chase's ADP dropped 3 to 4 rounds because of the drops. He had a couple of, you know, high-profile drops, and we didn't see Burrow very much, and so people were panicking on Ja'Marr Chase, and I get it. He's a rookie wide receiver, been out of football for the year, but he's also like one of the best wide receiver prospects of the last 20 years. So, everyone that drafted Ja'Marr Chase, looks like you got a bargain.
We'll talk about the backfields in just a second, but first, did you know that Tony Romo is a motivational speaker now?
I did not know that.
How about this? All this football season, Tony and Corona are remotivating football fans to live the game day good life. Let Tony unlock your football fan potential at RowMotivation.com. There you can launch an augmented reality experience that will put Tony in your living room or at the bar next to you while you watch the game. It's true, you can be better at watching football. Let Romo and Corona show you how to live the game day good life. Visit RowMotivation.com now. Please drink responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports in Chicago, Illinois.
It's good to see the teams back out on the gridiron, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Lucky for us, that was just week one. DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL, is putting you in the center of the action for week two. New customers can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit by signing up using the code FOCUS. Get in on the action now. It's simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Feel the NFL action like never before with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Download the DraftKings app now and use code FOCUS. This week, new customers can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Enter the code FOCUS one more time to get free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with your first deposit. That's code FOCUS only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Let's get into the backfields. Chaos or clarity is the question. We start in Atlanta, where the Falcons got waxed. They look terrible. They might have been, that was a tough day at the office for the Atlanta Falcons. Here's the snap.
That might be the worst offense in the NFL at the moment, based on what we saw.
Yeah, I mean, it was really bad yesterday. Really bad. Could not finish drives.
Look brutal.
Could not execute.
I have a...
Packers look pretty bad. Though.
I mean, all of it looked awful. But
we'll
you know what? I have a sneaky suspicion.
Okay.
I think the Eagles might be good. I think the Eagles might be good this year. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I know it's been a... I think the Eagles, and this is a Washington fan. Mm. I think the Eagles might be good this year. And if I lived in a state where sports betting was legal, it's not at the moment. I think
I don't think so.
Not yet. It's coming. But if I lived in a state where sports betting was legal, I think I'd place my money on the Eagles to win the NFC East at the moment.
All right, interesting take right there. Let's get into the
backfield. Which is disappointing because, you know, I'm a Washington fan, and I think,
let's get into the backfield in Atlanta a little bit deeper. Mike Davis has 41 snaps to 21 for Cordarrelle Patterson. 48 snaps to 21 for Cordarrelle Patterson. Mike Davis has 15 carries for 49 yards plus 3 catches on 6 targets, so he gets you 10.2 fantasy points. Patterson actually had more rushing yards on just 7 total carries, plus 2 catches for 13 yards, Matthew. Here's what I would say. I was a little bit surprised by the role that Patterson had yesterday. He played more than I thought he would, but I'm not totally discouraged by Mike Davis's role, right? I mean,
18 touches.
Yeah, 18 touches and 3 extra
targets. In a game they were getting their butts kicked.
I'm okay with it.
I totally am as well. You know, the only thing that's interesting about Patterson, and I haven't read anything about this, I need to do a deeper dive in this. But I wonder if there's something in Arthur Smith's thought that he's just like, the closest guy I've got to Derrick Henry is Cordarrelle Patterson. I'm just saying in terms of, like, Cordarrelle Patterson's a big guy. Mm. Like, he's a big, tall guy, and he's built. Like, he's crazy fast, but he's also built. That's all I'm just wondering if there's... I mean, I'm not saying he's Derrick Henry, please... I want to be very clear about this. I'm not saying he's anywhere close to Derrick Henry.
Okay.
I'm just saying build-wise, like Mike Davis is a shorter guy. Like he's stocky, you know, he's got the big quads and everything like that.
Yeah.
But Patterson's like a big dude.
I mean, he only had 7 carries though.
I'm with you.
He played some. I don't think it's like I'm not ready to
change
my perception of Patterson's role.
He's just
of his value, I should say.
6'2", 225, Matthew. So to your point, actually, that's a little bit thicker than what I had thought he was. But 6'2", 225 is pretty big. That being said, do you think that maybe you were just a decade too early on Cordarrelle Patterson and you meant 2021 is when it was?
It might have just been a decade too early.
Yeah.
I'm always ahead of the curve.
That's right.
In this case, I was really ahead of the curve. No, the truth is, look, Wayne Gallman was a scratch here. I wonder if that was just like familiarity with a playbook. You know, he joined the team late. My expectation here is, but the fact is, in a game in which they were getting their butts absolutely kicked and their offense couldn't generate anything, Mike Davis still got 18 touches. And I think you feel pretty good about that.
You sure do. Let's move forward to the Lions, who, as we mentioned,
Patterson should be on your radar. I don't think he's somebody you pick up.
No, definitely not.
You don't pick up, but yeah. I think he's just a name to be on your radar.
Yep. For the Lions, Jamal Williams, there was some pre-game reporting that Jamal Williams would be the workhorse for the Lions yesterday, Daniel. Is that correct?
Yeah, he was going to take over as the starter to start the game, which was very confusing to all of us because we thought DeAndre Swift was the guy. But as the game played out...
57 snaps for...
DeAndre Swift.
As the game played out, you saw it happen the other way. Yeah.
Right, so DeAndre Swift finishes with 57 snaps. Jamal Williams, just 30 snaps. Now, that being said, Jamal Williams made the most of those 30 snaps as he had 9 carries for 54 yards and a touchdown, 8 catches for 56 yards, good for 25 fantasy points, outpacing DeAndre Swift by 0.6 fantasy points with 11 carries for 39 yards plus 8 catches for 65 yards. So a great day at the office for both of them, Matthew. I doubt that we are going to see quite this much volume for them week over week. But my big takeaway here is this. It was great to see DeAndre Swift involved in the passing game as much as he was, even if it was mostly garbage time. And in a day in which basically no Lions wide receiver stood out, maybe what they're going to tell us is that if Jared Goff is going to Bortle his way to a bunch of passing yards and big blowout games, maybe it's the It's the tight end, TJ Hockenson, mm-hmm. who was great. And it's the two running backs. And those are three pass catchers that matter this
season. But we've been saying all preseason. Go back and look at my
love-hate. This is even like souped up. Like if you're getting this kind of... Remember there were some hesitations on DeAndre Swift after
I know
the
there
preseason.
Were some... Not from me, but yes, there were some out there in fantasy world. But if you look at my love-hate from this week, I literally recommended both Swift and Jamal Williams and said, I think they're going to be down in this game, and I think they're going to be involved in the passing game. We talked about it on this podcast as well. This is what we've talked about. I mean, I had Hockenson at tight end four because I'm like, that passing offense is going to go through Hockenson. I don't think what happened against San Francisco is that much of an anomaly. It's a brutal defense. You could argue it's the worst defense in the NFL. I do think there's a chance that Jared Goff has a Blake Bortles-like season here. He's not as mobile as Bortles. You know, Bortles ran quite a bit. But there's going to be a lot of junk time. There's going to be a lot of garbage time on this Lions team. And to your point, with no wide receiver separating themselves and also an offensive line that, you know, was inconsistent yesterday for Detroit, there's going to be a lot of dump-offs. By the way, their offense coordinator is a former NFL running back who likes to do that. This is Anthony Lynn, who was with the Chargers for so many years, who liked to use Austin Eckler in this way. You know, who used multiple running backs in Buffalo when he was the coordinator and the head coach in Buffalo. This is obviously huge games for both guys. I don't know if they make a furious comeback every single week.
No.
But do I think both guys are usable enough? Both guys are used enough in the passing game in PPR formats that they're very viable? 100%. Jamal Williams, who is one of my favorite sleepers in the preseason, and yours as well, Field, we talked about quite a bit. We're like, this is a good running back. This is a good running back who got paid, and they're going to use both of these guys. Swift is a special talent as well. So Swift is a top 14 fantasy running back, I think, if not higher, you know, and...
Somewhere. Yeah,
Can I say quickly, because I know we've already talked about this, and the Lions aren't a great fantasy team to talk about, but when you look at their wide receivers, in all honesty, especially after that first game, they just have no ability to have that explosive deep play once they get down. So the way that they do that is those little screen passes to Hockenson or the running backs, or those short passes to be able to pick up chunks of yardage. I really don't think there's a single, even with Tyra Williams, I don't know if Tyra Williams is worth rostering based on who I might want to pick up off of waivers this week, if I'm being honest.
He did not look great yesterday. Yeah. Let's move forward because we got a bunch of stuff to try to get to here. The Cardinals just absolutely spanked the Titans yesterday. Kyler Murray looked unbelievable. He had 5 total touchdowns, 4 through the air, 1 on the ground. He was unstoppable, as was Chandler Jones. That was the story of the game. But as far as fantasy is concerned, Chase Edmonds played 8 more snaps, 40-32 over James Conner. He has 12 carries, does Edmonds, for 63 yards, plus 4 catches for 43 yards. And this game played out basically exactly as we sort of forecasted it coming into the season, right? Chase Edmonds has passing game upside.
Yes.
He has 4 catches on 4 targets, as I just mentioned. So he's like a low-end RB2 / high-end flex play. James Conner is a touchdown-dependent flex play. 16 carries, that was more than Chase Edmonds. 53 yards, that was a little bit less than Chase Edmonds, but 0 touchdowns and 0 targets.
That's right.
That's how this backfield might go this season.
It is. But I think just, and what we talked about during the draft process was, Connor's probably the better value because Connor was going 5, 6, sometimes 7 rounds after Chase Edmonds. And James Connor, I mean, like, and this is much more of a split. Would you, in a vacuum, would you rather have Chase Edmonds than James Connor? Sure, because of the passing down equity. But, like, you know, at cost, we thought Connor was the better value. Either way, this is a timeshare. This is a running back by committee on a team with an extremely mobile quarterback who's going to vulture some touchdowns himself. Like, Kyler Murray's going to have a handful of rushing touchdowns this year, obviously.
Speaking of that, and this is even on the note, but let me just slide in one thing that I have to get off my chest.
Yes, sir.
Quarterbacks stealing touchdowns or backup right tackle stealing touchdowns. The Chiefs ran a screenplay for a backup right tackle yesterday.
Yes, sir.
Clyde Edwards might have a worse chance of scoring a touchdown from 5 yards in this year than I do.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
Like, that was, and I know, I think Edwards-Helaire was fine yesterday, but, like, goodness gracious.
But that's an Andy Reid thing. He's always done that.
I mean, this is the extreme we've seen over the past year plus. Like, I don't know, man. Maybe I'm overreacting, but
they like those jet sweeps to Tyreek Hill.
I know,
they do that. They do the shovel pass to Kelsey. They tried that too,
My point is, yes. Mahomes had what, 2 rushing touchdowns yesterday. My point is, maybe the efforts to make Clyde Edwards-Helaire even an RB2 might some weeks right. be a struggle this season. Let's keep
Field really quickly. When are they going to do the trick play of just run it up the middle with Clyde Edwards-Helaire? Because no one expects that from Andy Reid.
No.
You know what I mean?
You know what's going to happen. At some point, Eric Stonestreet, who is Randy Reid, his long-lost brother, of course, actor from Modern Family, he's going
to
get a snap at some point
this year.
Doubt in my mind he'll have a touchdown before Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Let's keep things moving forward here, Matthew.
Texans. Off the tank game, very quickly, though, is Patrick Mahomes is still the number one quarterback in fantasy. Kyler Murray's close. Man.
He's going to breathe down his neck.
I had Murray at number one this week. Like, I'm just saying, like, it ain't that. I'm not saying Mahomes is in a. I'm not saying, what's the old Bum Phillips quote? Like, I'm not saying he's in a class by himself, but it don't take long to call the roll.
Yep, I like
right,
that one.
Exactly.
Good one right there. All right, come back. All right. I'm going to do one more backfield live read and try to get through as many as we can here quickly. Yeah. Let's start with Houston. Yesterday, Mark Ingram, 33 snaps. He had 26 carries in those 33 snaps. David Johnson plays 21. Philip Lindsay plays 20. Matthew, I think conventional wisdom would be after yesterday that, hey, Mark Ingram dominates the carries.
Yeah.
Has 14.5 fantasy points.
Yeah.
He's going to be the man. I think in the short term, he might be. This was the perfect game script for this. And make no mistake about this. As everybody knows, last week I was pounding the table. They were going to blow out the Jaguars.
Great call. Like, you guaranteed, you literally guaranteed on this show, you guaranteed a victory for the Texans, which went strongly against conventional wisdom. So kudos to you. That might have been the call of the week.
But
well done.
But I don't think every game that's going to be atypical of their game script.
Of course.
So, like, it's going to be much more difficult for them to have anything close to what they did with the backfield yesterday, which is why.
Especially given the lack of versatility of Ingram.
Of course.
Right.
Which makes me feel, again, Philip Lindsay is still the guy that if you're going to roster any of them for the course of the season, he might be it. I'm fine with potentially grabbing Mark Ingram right now this week. He'll make the waiver wire call him. He might crack a lineup over the next couple of weeks. But I think over the course of the year, this will be Philip Lindsay who is the most valuable. By the way, David Johnson scores a touchdown yesterday too.
Yeah, they all did. All three running backs scored a touchdown yesterday. I think it might be more of a committee and might be game script dependent. And listen, but kudos to the Texans who everyone had written off and they came out and, you know, they played hard. Yeah. So credit to David Culley and the staff.
We laugh at this kind of stuff, right? Because we laugh at like effort. These are millionaires, but effort matters. Buying in matters. Culture matters. And the Texans showed that yesterday that I give a lot of credit to David Culley, their new GM, Nick Caserio. I'm bringing in the right kind of pros. They're not going to be good this year. I don't think like 7, 8, 9 wins good, but they're going to play really hard. And that's a skill that matters in professional sports.
1,000%. And by the way, I'll say that I like to bag on the Lions, of course, because it tortures Daniel. Yeah. But I'll say that for the Lions, too, because it easily, when that game got out of hand, it would have been very easy for the Lions to just pack it up and be like, what are we going to do? But they fought back.
Yeah.
To your point, they had the ball with a chance to win or tie the game up at the end. Like, they fought back. They didn't give up. So credit to Dan Campbell. Like, those guys have bought in. Like, they don't have the skill players that other teams do, but those guys have bought in, and they played hard. And that's all you can ask.
That's all you can ask for.
Seriously.
All right, we're going to come back in just a second and talk about a few more backfields. But first, do you own or rent your home?
Sure you do.
Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work, but you know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance, along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to visit GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com.
Hey, you know what is here? Fantasy football. Fantasy football's here, and it's more of what you love. The teams, the rivals, the stats, the trash-talking friends, and, of course, your favorite fantasy stars like Kyler Murray had himself a day. Chris McCaffrey had himself a day. CeeDee Lamb, Baker Mayfield, they all rely on body armor to get them to the next level and perform at their best, give you the trash-talking points you need. Hey, this fall, a great time to up your game as well. Body Armor has got you covered. Everybody focused, of course, on staying active and healthy. Hydration, an important part of that. It's more than just a sports drink. Made with potassium-packed electrolytes, antioxidants, no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. So now through December 31st, buy any one Body Armor product and upload your receipt to bafootballtailgate.com. Nice. You'll be entered for a chance to win one of hundreds of amazing prizes for your next tailgate. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Open to residents of the United States 18 and older. Love me some Body Armor.
All right, moving forward, moving backwards, I suppose. We're going to continue with these running back timeshares that we saw yesterday, Matthew. James Robinson played 42 snaps for the Jaguars. Carlos Hyde played 25 snaps for Jacksonville. My take, remember, I think we talked about this specifically. Yep. I'll never forget the word that I used. I said Carlos Hyde is going to be annoying at the beginning of the season for James Robinson. and he was annoying yesterday. James Robinson had 5 carries plus 3 catches, so 8.4 fantasy points. But Carlos Hyde had 9 carries and 2 catches, 7.8 fantasy points for him in Jacksonville. I really don't believe it's going to sustain over the course of the season. I think it'll be more James Robinson than Carlos Hyde, but at the beginning of the year in a game in which they got blown out, this was not the start we were looking for.
Certainly not. I think what's clear here is that James Robinson is going to get anywhere close to the, whatever it was, 90% of the running back touches that he got last year. James Robinson was like the guy last year, and even in a game and with Travis Etienne not playing, Carlos Hyde got a lot of work. We've talked about Hyde. I wonder though, Field, was this a game script thing where it's just like we're getting blown out and maybe they feel better about Hyde and pass protection? Maybe they just didn't want to, quote, waste James Robinson in a game that got out of hand quickly.
They were trying to come back and scratch and claw for it, right? Trevor Lawrence ends up with 19 fantasy points.
Yeah, sure.
And Robinson had more snaps than Carlos Hyde too, by almost double.
So I agree with you. I think Carlos, listen, they like Carlos Hyde. It's Urban Meyer. He played for Urban Meyer in college. We talked about this throughout the preseason. So yep. Carlos Hyde, I don't know that Carlos Hyde is going to have standalone fantasy value unless something happens to James Robinson, but I do think he legitimately will continue to be a drain on James Robinson's fantasy value.
Pretty annoying, that much is for sure. All right, Broncos and Giants. The Broncos have an even split. How about that? 33 snaps apiece for Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon, but Melvin Gordon has the play that sort of separates him. 11 carries for 101 yards and a touchdown. 70 of those yards came on a touchdown run with 4:37 left to ice this game. Matthew, I'm not sure I learned much about this backfield. I think we had them pretty closely ranked in the preseason. I think I'll have them pretty closely ranked again this upcoming
year. Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people drafted Javonte Williams much higher than Melvin Gordon. And again, sort of similar to what we've talked about with other backfields, going to be more of a committee than I think people think. So Melvin Gordon's good. Yeah. I mean, by the way, that 70-yard, yes, the Giants were sort of done and it was kind of the end of the game. But like Melvin Gordon showed like, yo, guys, I still have juice.
He still has juice.
Yep. I mean, it was an impressive run.
Right. This is not a 35-year-old running back. No. Is he 28, 29 years old? Still a pretty useful player. Last game of the night was the Rams hosting the Chicago Bears. Cool to see fans in SoFi. That was pretty good.
Yeah. I just want to say, watching Matthew Stafford get his first touchdown on a bomb as an LA Ram was just, as a Lions fan that have seen a lot of those from Matthew Stafford, I was just excited, man. I love watching that kid.
Yeah, it was good. He's a kid.
By the way, I think it was Barnwell that tweeted this. I don't know if you guys saw this. I think it was Bill Barnwell. I apologize if it's not Bill and somebody else, but I think Bill Barnwell said, can we stop with the narrative that Matthew Stafford didn't have any talent with him in Detroit? He played with Calvin Johnson for 7 years.
Yeah, that was Bill.
Okay. Listen, so it was a great tweet
Stafford
by Barnwell.
Matthew Stafford is so good, he does not need the excuses and the caveats about what didn't go right in Detroit. They had a terrible defense forever. They almost always had good pieces around him offensively. Yep. That much is for sure. But in this game, Daryl Henderson dominated the snaps for them. 47 snaps for him. Just 3 for Sony Michel. One note here is that there was reporting and there was some commentary last night that basically the Rams, this is kind of by design, is that they know Sony Michel is going to be a bigger part of their offense. It just is going to take some time. He's brand new. He's getting acclimated to the system still. And I know there are plenty of examples of running backs coming out of nowhere, like CJ Anderson, and playing right away for the Rams. For Sony Michel, for one reason or another, it's going to be a little bit of a slower burn. They traded 2 picks for this guy, man. You don't trade away 2 picks, including a 4th-round pick, to play a guy 3 snaps out of 50.
It'll be more of a committee going forward, but I think the fantasy death of Daryl Henderson has been widely overreported. Like, he's still going to have it. Like, I thought Daryl Henderson looked good in a tough matchup yesterday.
Yeah. The big question is whether he holds up, right?
Yeah.
If he holds up, he'll end up holding some value, maybe a little bit less than what his value was yesterday. He just has to hold up, and I'm sure that's part of the thought process from the Rams. As Lindsay Theory told us on Fantasy Football Now yesterday, was part of it was not that they don't like Daryl Henderson. It was they just have to manage his workload. By the way, Lindsay Theory, who joined us on Fantasy Football Now yesterday, also mentioned Van Jefferson as a sleeper. How did that one work out?
Worked out well.
A 67-yard touchdown on one of the first drives of the game.
Can I ask you a real quick question? You're talking about how you know that, and we talked about this, Michelle is going to be something likely more towards the second half of the season.
Sooner than that, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is this a guy that, like, given what happened here in week one, are you putting in an offer for, you know, the manager that maybe he has soon, Michelle, knowing it won't take a lot to get him?
No, here's what I'm going to do. Absolutely not. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to wait for the manager to drop him.
You think that's going to happen?
That's what's going to happen. They're going to sit there and go like one carry for 2 yards. They're just going to waive him, and then I'm going to grab him on waivers. Because I think if you try to make an offer for him right now, somebody might go like, oh, maybe there is value. I was thinking about dropping him. I would certainly at least wait till waivers.
Wait till waivers
and see if he gets dropped in your league, because I bet Field, I bet he does.
Good idea.
Agreed. All right, we have 10 minutes left in the show, and I'm going to mention one thing now in reverse order in case we have people that sort of that they fade as we get towards the closing minutes of the show. Josh Jacobs has been downgraded to questionable for the Raiders tonight. They play tonight. It's because of an illness. I don't know if Stefania has anything else to add on that or if that cough was just a natural cough.
No, that. Should we
downgrade you to questionable, Stefania? Do you have an illness?
I was just clearing my throat and I sort of forget because I'm over in the cubby. I'm in the seclude. I'm in the cave. I'm over here today. So I sort of forget that.
One of our cameras is broken. Believe it or not, one of our cameras is broken.
Did you break it on purpose? So I would be exiled.
I am not. Of course, we love you, Stefania. No, one of our cameras is broken, which is hilarious to think about, like, because we work at ESPN.
It's got the curse,
like,
just for, right?
for aspiring podcasters out there that are struggling with their equipment, going like, I wish I could make it to the big time. Just so you know,
not
stuff
just
breaks
you.
At the big time too. So yeah, go to big time, whatever.
Yeah. So back to Josh Jacobs. I do. My understanding is that Josh Jacobs is good to go tonight and should have a big role.
Okay, that is good news right there. But wanted to make sure that we mentioned it in case the news was more pessimistic and you had to potentially make a last minute lineup change. Let's get back to you though, Stefania, because Brandon Ayuk, as we move to sort of a patience or panic after a week one bust, barely played yesterday. He had 13 routes and zero targets. Stefania, this to me did not seem disciplinary. It did not seem like he's forgotten how to be a star wide receiver all of a sudden. This felt to me like sort of scar tissue from an injury or an absence during the preseason.
It's a weird one that I think I'm still sorting out, because if you go to the... So let me start with when I was in camp, I don't think there was any question that we were going to see Brandon Ayuk starting alongside Deebo Samuel. That's how it felt when I was there. I spoke with him at length. We talked about the changes for him having this full training camp after having a challenging rookie season coming in the COVID era. One of the things he told me was that his goal was to play in all 17 games, and he seemed really intent on it. Now, if you talk to some of the beat writers who cover the team really closely, Matt Maiocco posted an interesting tweet yesterday saying that he was still learning how to be a pro, and that at this point, you know, after a hot start to training camp, he had tailed off. So there was a deliberate coaching decision. Now, I know Kyle Shanahan said, you know, he had missed the time with the hamstring issue. It did cause him to miss about 10 days of practice. He did participate in practice last week. So on the outside, it looked like it was good to go. But I spoke with someone else who said it turns out he was working with the scout team in practice a lot. So I think there was some setup there that we didn't necessarily know about. It was not made public. But I think there may have been a bit of a message sending. The one thing I am concerned about is Brandon Ayuk missed time last year because of injuries, and it was really important to him to not do that this year. Sometimes players will get nervous, and if he was holding out a little bit, not practicing, and then there's some challenge between the coaching staff getting frustrated that he's not out there, who knows where that line is? But it's something to watch. It does make me concerned. The 49ers have a lot of injury issues. So I kind of understand from a player side if you're trying to be conservative and protect yourself. Again, I'm not in the room, so I don't know exactly what happened. I do think it'll be interesting to see what they do while they're in West Virginia this week. Everybody, it's like camping, right? They're all really close together for the week. Let's see what we hear about Brandon Ayuk, and maybe that will change in week two.
Well, this is one of the reasons why when you write a column called Field's Favorites, you can't hit them all, right, Matthew?
I wouldn't know anything about that. I wouldn't know anything about putting something out in public and it not working out. That's never happened.
never
happened to you.
Never
yes.
happened to me.
Well, so that's pretty sure it happened, a little bit disconcerting from Deebo Samuel. Brandon Ayuk. Yeah. Deebo Samuel was not disappointed. He was excellent yesterday. We'll sort of dive into that Brandon Ayuk situation more and more throughout the season. But Matthew, I want to ask you.
I mean, I had David Montgomery on my hate list this week. I mean,
he was the field's favorite.
He worked out.
It's time to change the rhetoric. I really believe that. And that was the point I made during the preseason. He's a good football player. He just is.
You were absolutely on that, and I was anti that. Damian Williams did get a lot more work, which was one of my concerns with Montgomery, so we'll see. But I admit I was wrong on that
He's a good football player.
He's a good football player. And he looked good yesterday in a tough matchup. Yeah. And got into the end zone, 1,000%.
Can I ask you a really quick question? Because we're running out of time. But this week had so many things that happened in it. So many takeaways that we're going to have to talk about more tomorrow, as well as our waiver wire Monday Night Football. But I'm just curious from a perspective, from your guys' thought process, watching week one, did you have one big takeaway or something that you felt like you wanted to make sure that we talk about here on today's show?
You want to start, Matthew?
Sure. Listen, there's so much to get to, right?
So much.
But I'll give you one thing is that we talk about sometimes preseason is not indicative, right? Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow being great examples of that. Elijah Mitchell being a great example of that. But sometimes it is, right? And I think about Corey Davis, right? I mean, like, we talked about this on the show yesterday on Fantasy Football Now yesterday morning, which was that Corey Davis had a 55% target share. 55% from Zach Wilson in the second preseason game. And then, obviously, 5 for 97, 2 touchdowns, over 26 fantasy points there. That was something that, like he threw 8 passes on first drives this preseason, 6 went to Corey Davis. Again, like, he just was always looking for Corey Davis. With Jamison Crowder out and Elijah Moore, you know, in his first game, felt like that one was sort of pretty obvious, right? Yeah. And, you know, I think Corey Davis is going to be a thing this year. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Like, it's a nice value for anyone that drafted him.
So I know what my actual takeaway, I'll talk about the rookies in just a minute, but just wanted to quickly say, yesterday was a reminder. We don't talk about the stars all the time because what's there to say? Christian McCaffrey and Travis Kelce reminded you why they are the two biggest difference maker in fantasy football.
Yep.
Christian McCaffrey, 20 rushes, 9 catches. Travis Kelce, 6 for 76 and 2 touchdowns. He was quiet early for the Chiefs. Yeah. He went off. But my real takeaway is that the path for two former Alabama wide receivers is clear to fantasy this season, especially in Philadelphia, where DeVonta Smith had a great game. 6 for 71 on 8 targets with a touchdown for DeVonta Smith. Jalen Waddle, meanwhile, had 4 catches, 61 yards, and a touchdown. He had the only touchdown catch of the day for the Miami Dolphins. Will Fuller was not playing yesterday. Preston Williams was not playing yesterday, so it wasn't all the usual suspects there for Miami. But these two guys have a legit shot at a weekly role inside your lineup. Stefania, what was your big takeaway from yesterday?
It's that the rookie quarterbacks had a solid day, even though it wasn't all wins for them across the board. It was a nice, solid start for three rookie quarterbacks. It was nice to see Trevor Lawrence, obviously, with some challenge there. Got a lot of air yards, mostly as a result of having to try to play catch up. Did throw 3 picks. You know, it's his first loss in the regular season ever. High school, college.
Hey, Stefania, hold on, though. It looks like your main topic is, I can't believe the Lions covered. That's what's weird. If you're watching the screen, it says Stefania's main takeaways. I can't believe the Lions covered.
I just got blindsided by the graphics.
Wow.
That is, how do you feel about that, Stefania?
Daniel,
you want to respond?
Did you just, like, enter? No, I'm not even going to acknowledge it with a remark because I was just...
Yeah,
yank the rug out from underneath me, and
I don't even want it. I don't think I've ever rooted for the Lions as hard as I did.
By the way, we watched games together, and Matthew is sitting next to me at the table next to me because we have to be socially distant. Thank God, because I had to keep him arm's length as he's yelling, rooting for the Lions, like, boo 49ers. What a poor sport. Just because you're
or
Washington's
a great
football
sport.
Team.
I suppose it depends on your
point
of view.
Yeah, I love Matthew's a great friend of me, Stefania. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, Daniel, for one day.
Yeah, for one day, finally. How quickly you forget. What, Daniel?
Tell me.
We're still 1-0, and you're not.
Hey, I am the Detroit Lions. First off, I'll get to my takeaway here real quickly, and we'll end the show. But the Detroit Lions, first place in the NFC
place,
North.
Detroit Lions.
Thank you very much. Did we score more points than anyone else in the NFC North by chance, too?
Yes, you
we
did.
We might be the highest scoring team in that division.
You are.
I got
brutal day.
T.J. Hockenson. Listen,
I just want to point out.
Go ahead, Matthew.
I want to make you feel badly, Daniel, about gloating. Jason Verrett suffered a horrible injury.
He did. He did.
And when he went out, the Lions scored 16 unanswered points.
Yes, they did.
So if you want to feel good about how you got your points, that's
fine. I feel good about T.J. Hockenson, Stefania, because he looked absolutely amazing. He's everything that I feel like we talked about him being this offseason. With how bad this offense is, Jared Goff is going to have to check it down to him. He's somebody that they love in the red zone. I don't feel like they have anyone else really to trust. He's a guy that if you drafted him at tight end, I am all in. Like, top 3 tight end for me. Right now, this season, I think is where he's going to finish the year.
25.7 fantasy points.
He crushed
it. Who's out of your top 3 then?
George Kittle,
Mark Andrews.
Kittle. Oh,
sorry. I'm going to say George Kittle is going to be out of my top three with that quarterback
now
situation.
We're definitely no Daniel longer Waller friends.
Yeah, bad blood between Daniel and Stefania manifested during the late
anger.
Portion of this podcast.
A lot of
All
anger,
right, a reminder,
which I love, by the way. I like stirring Monday, it up and then getting out of the way.
Monday Night Football tonight. Cannot wait to watch the Ravens travel to play the Las Vegas Raiders. What's going to be fun is we have our tremendous broadcast team of Steve Levy, flanked by Brian Greasy and also Lewis Riddick, with Lisa Salters and John Perry on the field. And tonight, the debut of the Manning cast on ESPN2. If you want to listen to Peyton Manning and his brother Eli talk about football, I'm sure that'll be pretty darn entertaining. For Matthew and Daniel and Stefania, I am Phil. Thanks for watching Fantasy Focus, presented by EA Madden NFL 22. Tomorrow, we'll be reacting to Monday Night Football in addition to breaking down the players you need to know for the waiver wire and any leftover thoughts from today. We'll talk to you guys then.
Peace out!
She's got a smile that'll melt your heart. She's always there to lend a helping hand. Her fantasy knowledge is just the start. Her skills are highly in demand. She's our Bay Area lady out there hustling for us. Advice that we really trust. Bay Area lady, always there to help. She's not a cone, she's your favorite gal. She's Stefania Bell.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.